This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
And a very good evening to all of you tuning in to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell, and it is the fastest 2 hours in radio. We have got an amazing show scheduled over the next 2 hours. I tell you what, we're getting you ready for training camp, the NFC North Camp Primer. That's right, we're going to be visiting with radio play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrivee, will be joining us. But we're going to open up tonight's show as we go inside the ropes with PGA professional. That is Larry Miller. A lot of excitement, of course, for the 146th Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. Good evening, Larry. This major is as pure as it gets, right?
It's the best, and a lot for a lot of reasons. But it's an exciting week. It's a major, and we're going to make history in golf this week, and that's always fun.
Well, and Rory says that it certainly tests every aspect of your game. So when we look at the Open, how is it different, Larry, than other championships?
It requires imagination and creativity like no other tournament. The ground, you know, it's typically very hard. The ball rolls out. I mean, it'll roll 50, 60 yards sometimes. It's amazing. And you'll get wind and rain and cold and hot all in one 18-hole round. And the nuances of the course is there with the pot bunkers, the hidden bunkers, the deep bunkers, the double greens. I mean, you know, it's like unlike any other tournament in terms of the creativity and imagination that it requires. And who does that better than Phil Mickelson?
Yeah.
And that's why he plays so well in those British Opens.
That's right. And we're going to talk about Phil Mickelson, of course, him ditching the driver. But the weather, you were talking about creativity, imagination, and also the weather. It can be erratic and will frequently change. But one thing, Larry, that remains the same is the quality of champions each and every year. So even though Mother Nature is going to wreak havoc at times, it seems like every year it delivers a really great champion.
Yeah, as we know, we have been seeing first-time winners almost every week on the PGA Tour. And look at the list of winners in the British Open, and especially at Royal Birkdale, and you'll see the big names. The cream comes to the top. And the reason is because it does require imagination, creativity, and those things, you acquire those things through experience.
The 146th Open, our expert is delivering his thoughts. That is Larry Miller as we are inside the ropes. Already time to step aside for a quick commercial break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to hour number one at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. That's right, the next generation of sports radio, and we love hearing from all of our listeners. Join us at Twitter at eradiosports. You can always go back and listen to each and every interview at podcastarena.com. That is podcastarena.com. We are super excited to have with us to open our show, that is Larry Miller, as we are inside the ropes, author and former PGA Tour player. We are celebrating the 146th Open, and it seems like, Larry, every time you're on this show, we are talking about a brand new winner on the PGA Tour, and we have to wonder if it's going to happen this week. Will there be a breakthrough? And the guy that I've got my eye on is Ricky Fowler.
Well, yeah, first-time major winner, definitely. You know, he's got the game for it for sure. He's probably has the creativity and imagination. He, you know, Ricky works the ball pretty well when he wants to, left or right, and can hit it low. But I tell you, a lot of these Texas boys, they grew up playing in the wind, and watch out for some of those names, Jordan Spieth, you know, and all these guys that grew up with those kind of windy conditions. That bodes very well in the British Open because it can get, even on a calm day over there sometimes, they call calm days 20-mile-an-hour wind.
My gosh.
Yeah. I mean, that's a nice day. You know, if it's just drizzling a little in about 46 degrees and 20-mile-an-hour, that's great playing conditions for those people.
Well, I have to tell you, Larry, I kind of feel pretty confident about Ricky Fowler. I mean, he went to Oklahoma State, Stillwater, Oklahoma. You talk about some high winds. He certainly experienced it there, and it seems like he does play well in, you know, those types of conditions. It certainly would be great to see him get a breakthrough and a major, just like, you know, Sergio Garcia did, winning the Masters here in 2017.
Yeah, I think Ricky's, you know, he's going to win a major. It's just a matter of when, and it could be this week. He's hungry. He's playing well. He's having a good year. And so, yeah, I like that pick. That's a good pick for it. And watch out for Mickelson too. He seems to really come up in those British Opens and play well. And he probably exemplifies, creative golf and using his imagination more than anybody else. He kind of reminds me of a little Seve Ballesteros a little bit, the way he goes around the golf course with all these different shaped shots and not just high, straight, and long, but working the ball all over the place. So that's a dark horse too.
Yeah, and you know, Phil Mickelson, it's been a big storyline as far as him ditching his driver, and it almost seems like Phil is kind of tinkering with some things. I'm not sure if this is a good thing. Is it a little bit dangerous? But we'll never forget 1 year ago, just that incredible duel that he had with Stinson.
Yeah, and you know, and Mickelson, yeah, he does weird stuff. I mean, if you remember one British Open, he had two drivers in the bag, and he had one that he could hit really long when he got to a wide open fairway. And he had another one that he could fade a little bit and control, and it wouldn't go as far. But, you know, he can go from no to two drivers to no drivers, you know, to whatever. He's got a short putter. Whatever works for Phil, this seems to be the mantra. And you know, you really don't need a driver on a lot of these British Open courses. I mean, the ball rolls so far that these guys hit three woods almost 300 yards now. And so, you know, you really don't need a driver in a lot of those holes. Of course, you'll see them hit it when they get a downwind, you know, par five, because they're trying to get a short iron into that green for set up an eagle putt. But still, a lot of tournaments have been won over there with minimal use of the driver, for sure.
Well, as we talk about Phil Mickelson, Jim Bones McKay, his longtime caddy, of course, they've both gone their separate ways, and Jim is going to be serving on the course as a reporter for NBC and the Golf Channel this week, providing some insight. He's been very interesting to watch, and just listening to his perspective, you know, 25 years player-caddy relationship with Phil Mickelson. I have to wonder how Phil will respond, now having his brother on the bag, and how his strategy, you know, perhaps, Larry, how that will change. I mean, as we were just talking about ditching the driver, you know, what kind of influence did his brother perhaps have on him making that particular decision?
Yeah, I think Phil is very adaptable, and he's going to be very comfortable having his brother on the bag. Not that he wasn't comfortable with Bones, but
sure,
you know, after all, it's his brother. And I think Bones is going to be a tremendous, spectacular announcer. He has such great insight and knowledge from being inside the ropes with Phil. And so, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be, I think golf needs more of that. They need more of the people who really have been there and at close range and then seen it all and know all the nuances and terminologies and subtleties involved. And I think he's going to be a great announcer. But I think Mickelson's brother, Tim, is going to be just fine. They have a great rapport, and he knows Phil's game just as well as Bones does.
It's going to be fascinating to watch, no doubt about it. Let's go back for 1 year ago. Let's talk about Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson, just that incredible duel 1 year ago, delivered perhaps one of the best and the greatest Open ever. How would you rank that, Larry? I mean, it was a record-setting battle.
It was classic, too, because it was Stenson hitting the long, high, straight ball, and Mickelson, you know, curving the ball all over the golf course.
That's right.
So it was a tale of two methods, you know, and it could have gone either way. I mean, it was spectacular, the scoring, and just, you know, something like that comes down to a putt made or a putt missed. You know, it's a very small difference between first and second place in a duel like that, kind of like Watson and Nicklaus at Turnberry, everybody's shooting 64s and 5s at each other, and only a shot separates the two. So it just comes down to, you know, a made putt, a missed short putt, something like that.
Former PGA Tour player Larry Miller with us each and every week as we are inside the ropes at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the next generation of sports radio. And one of the guys I've really got my eye on, speaking of fascinating, is Jon Rahm. I mean, wow, he has made quite a splash, Larry, in 2017. Two wins, 9 top tens, and 15 starts. And he certainly has the physical tools. But I think my question mark is, you know, the psychological piece. I mean, he's got to do a better job of keeping those emotions in check. And you've talked a lot about that on our program, especially over the past couple of weeks, just how important it is.
Well, yeah, he's young, And, you know, we referenced Seve Ballesteros a few minutes ago, and he reminds me, you know, he's got that swashbuckling style.
Okay.
Yeah, and he just lashes the ball, you know, and seems to be swinging with abandon, very strong. I think the difference with he and Seve is Rahm is longer. He hits the ball a lot longer than Seve does. But his style of play reminds me of Seve. He's fiery, you know, and I think that you're right. I think you're exactly right. But he's very young. And as he gets one season under his belt after another, he's going to start calming down the way that he controls himself on the golf course. And when he does, look out, because he is immensely talented, and he's going to win a lot of golf tournaments if he stays healthy.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're getting you ready. That's right. The 146th Open, it is underway. Our expert tonight, of course, is Larry Miller. And let's talk about Sergio Garcia. Here in 2017, he wins the Masters. How does that set him up confidence-wise for another major and a shot at it?
Well, it's all the difference in the world because he knows he can do it. And it's just like, I can draw the analogy. If you take a beginner who plays for a year, year and a half, and never breaks 100, all of a sudden, out of the blue, one day shoots 93. Guess what? That beginner never shoots 100 again because the barrier is broken. You know you can do it psychologically.
Yeah.
And so Sergio, you know, now he knows he can win a major. He's going to be more relaxed trying to win a major. And because he's more relaxed, he's going to play better. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's a tremendous ball striker. It's all about the putter with Sergio. If he gets the ball rolling on the greens well, he can win any tournament he plays. He strikes it so well. So, yeah, I think he's going to win more majors now that he has broken that barrier.
Well, and if you look at his numbers too, Larry, he's played consistent golf at a high level. And so you were talking about his ball striking, but just kind of give us your assessment of his overall, just his short game.
Well, he's got great touch. Those guys from Spain, you know, starting with Seve, they seem to just have fabulous touch around the greens. Sergio has struggled with the putter at times, but his wedge game and his chipping and pitching is stellar in his sand game. So like I say, you know, he's got that part of it. All those Spaniards seem to have great touch. I don't know why. Maybe it's the water. I don't know. Who knows? But if he gets, like I said, the putter is the deal with him. Every part of his game is solid. But he does putt in a mediocre fashion at times, and that's what holds him back, and that's why he hasn't won a lot more.
What a great way to kick off hour number one at SB Nation Radio with our guest, Larry Miller. He is a life member of the PGA of America and former PGA Tour player. He is the author of 3 books on golf and performance. Of course, his latest book that he's released is Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. And we look forward to another conversation. I'll actually be on vacation next week, and we look forward to talking to you in the first week of August. Already, it's here.
Great. We're going to have a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way here in hour number one at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Welcome back to SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Right now it is time to head to the West Coast. We're going to talk some NBA with the LA Daily News and Lakers beat writer, that is Mark Medina. Last time he was on the show, we were talking about just the dynamic change that has taken place with the Lakers. Magic Johnson, he's got this new role as the Lakers president of basketball operations, and things are certainly looking up as the Lakers are the Summer League champions and Lonzo Ball named the Summer League MVP. Good to have back with us Mark Medina, the LA Daily News and Lakers beat writer. Good evening, Mark.
Hey, good evening, Alyssa. Always honored and happy to be on your show.
Well, we're thrilled to have you back on the program. And like I said, you know, a lot has transpired since our last conversation. And it looks like for the Lakers, the fans, the base, they've got to be pretty pumped up because there's been some serious strides that have taken place. And it's in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, the Laker fans have obviously been thirsty for good news, especially with what's happened the last few years with so many injuries, so much roster turnover, so many coaching changes, and more importantly, so much losing and missed playoff appearances. And with that being said, it might be a little presumptuous to think that Lakers are suddenly back and in the playoff mix. But I think with what the Lakers had shown in their summer league run and ultimately winning the tournament is that they have a good foundation to build on with a lot of young players, mm-hmm. and most notably Lonzo Ball. I mean, it's there's going to be a lot of question marks of that any rookie goes through entering the NBA, and you know, how good of a defender can he be, how good of a shooter can he be, but he has already changed the culture with just how good of a passer he is. Not only has his passing skills been exceptional and getting guys open for easy baskets, but it's created a trickle-down effect where his team mindset has influenced the other guys to cut harder because they know that they're going to get the ball, yeah. and they also feel more inclined to pass the ball as well. And I think that's, you know, really going to pay dividends with how the Lakers run their offense next season.
Okay, you're listening to The Voice, Mark Medina, the LA Daily News and Lakers beat writer. Always a Big E favorite when he joins us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And certainly the Lakers are a franchise, you know, Mark, that are very rich in history. And it is, I have to tell you, you know, watching Summer League, it was refreshing to see them back to their winning ways. And Magic Johnson says Lonzo Ball, his summer that he had, all these triple-doubles, are just a preview of things to come. What is your confidence level? Do you believe that?
I think so. It might be a stretch to say he's definitely going to be the Lakers' savior, or he's definitely going to be a superstar. There's definitely some things that he showed that, you know, elicited some questions in terms of how good of a shooter can he be. He was a very good outside shooter at UCLA, despite the fact that he had an unorthodox shooting stroke. To what degree does he change that? To what degree does he keep that? That remains to be seen. He's not known as a very good defender, but I think the thing that's, you know, easy to see is that he is just an amazing passer. And you look at what the Lakers have had in recent seasons, both for better and for worse, and it was always a blessing and curse with Kobe Bryant. He is a guy that shot the ball a lot, sometimes, you know, most of the time for the team's benefit and sometimes to their detriment in terms of, you know, not always having offensive balance and not always having his teammates engaged. But even with his departure last season, D'Angelo Russell was the point guard. They had a lot of solid impressions of him in terms of his vision and yeah. his outside shot, but there's always kind of a give and take and a frustrating point of contention where, mm-hmm. you know, they knew he's a young player, but there was a sense of him trying to figure out when should he get guys going, when should he look for his own shot, and as time passed on, it seemed like he was more of a shooting guard than a point guard. And as a result of that, the ball movement wasn't always fluid, and you saw teammates, you know, often disengaged on both ends of the floor because of that. And I think even if there's question marks about Lonzo pertaining to his shooting, pertaining to his defense, some of those things can be offset just by the fact that he passes the ball well. It's going to create instant offense, and it's going to have a trickle-down effect on the defensive end because teams aren't going to be able to get out and transition as much if the Lakers are making easy shots. And secondly, if teammates are more engaged on the offensive end, it's only human nature that they translate that same amount of energy defensively.
Well, Mark, it sounds like what you're saying, that it wasn't difficult for the Lakers to separate themselves from D'Angelo Russell, that it was the right move and that it wasn't a mistake.
Yeah, I don't think they regret that. Magic Johnson went so far as to say he doesn't have any regrets at all. Now, one thing I should clarify, the Lakers did not enter this offseason thinking they have to trade D'Angelo Russell by whatever means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of a byproduct of a few things. The Lakers had some larger objectives in trying to find a way to get rid of either the Timofey Mozgov contract or the Luol Deng contract. Those are two signings that the Lakers' previous front office and Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss had made last season to their detriment, not just from a cap perspective, but from a production standpoint. And so here, with the Lakers trading D'Angelo Russell to Brooklyn, it was kind of a perfect storm of all the stars aligning. They found a team that was willing to take on the Mozgov contract. They had a very serviceable center in Brook Lopez that has actually been more productive than Mozgov in recent years. They're able to get the number 27 pick that wound up resulting in them getting Kyle Kuzma, and he's been a very, you know, inspiring pick so far, and getting the Summer League Finals MVP award because of his versatility and his outside shot. And then I think to the other point, they did see D'Angelo a little bit more expendable because they were looking at Lonzo Ball as their favorite guy to pick with the number two pick. They think that he has a lot more passing leadership qualities that D'Angelo lacked. And so I think when you're looking at the D'Angelo Russell component of the trade, it kind of cut both ways, where he was considered good enough to add as a sweetener in the deal to Brooklyn to make it enticing for them to take on, but he was deemed expendable enough to part ways because of Lonzo's presence and because of some of the issues and question marks they had regarding D'Angelo's maturity and work ethic and whether that meant he could ever become the team's face of the franchise.
LA Daily News, Lakers beat writer Mark Medina back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As we talk about the Lakers' Lonzo Ball, how much pressure is on Lonzo? I mean, what's amazing is that, you know, he's got every camera on him and everybody wants to know, you know, how things are going to play out. But it seems like the more pressure, the brighter he shines.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question there's going to be so much pressure on him. He's the number two pick. He's with the Lakers. His dad, LeVar, is obviously a guy that does not shy from the media and making a lot of bold claims about his son's potential, the big baller brand, the shoe company they're trying to market. So all those things, it's going to create a very bright spotlight for Lonzo, not just from the media, but from around the league and you know, when there's highly touted rookies coming in the NBA, stars around the league are already going to try to test those guys to see what they're
good
made
point,
of.
So, yeah.
I think so I think you only multiply that even more. But to your point, he's been under the spotlight at a very young age, when he was at Chino Hills, when he was at UCLA. And in his demeanor, at least, he doesn't seem too fazed about it. So I think he has the temperament to deal with it. But you know, the NBA is a whole other level, so there's going to be additional challenges. But it'll be interesting to see if the challenges are really just X's and O's and how he adapts to more talent that he's facing, or if the hype winds up becoming overwhelming. And even if, you know, no matter how well-versed some of these guys coming in have been in handling the spotlight, the NBA is such another animal. But if I had to predict, I think he's going to be able to handle that spotlight. I think any adjustments that he makes in his first NBA seasons, it's all going to be from an X's and O's standpoint. But after all that, I think he's going to be a very good player, whether that means he's a superstar, an all-star, that remains to be seen, but I think it's safe to say he's going to be a guy that makes a significant impact on the Lakers in years to come.
Lonzo is a tremendous passer. You had highlighted that, but what about as far as his jump shot? There's been a lot of talk about how unorthodox his shot is. Do you see or any word about the Lakers that they may tinker with that a bit and kind of clean that up?
It's too early to say at this point. The thing that's, you know, always an interesting challenge when you're dealing with someone's shot is, when do you address that?
Right.
And, usually that's something that happens as soon as the regular season ends, so they have a full off season to tinker with it, make certain adjustments. And why players often don't do that during the season is, you just look at their time that's needed to do that. They have so many practices, so many games, and when it comes specifically to a player's shot, if you're making significant changes, that has a psychological component to it, so you don't want to make players overthink. So if I had to guess, I don't think he's going to make too many drastic changes before the season starts. He has had an old adage before he got drafted that, you know, it's worked so far, it's gotten to this point, don't fix what isn't broken. As we saw in Summer League, you know, I think there's enough evidence to show that there could be at least some adjustments because of the fact that the three-point line's a lot farther in the NBA. There's going to be a lot more physical defenders trying to stop him. But if I had to guess, I think this season it's going to be kind of a rites of passage of him figuring out that puzzle and then trying to rely on his passing to make up for it, trying to rely on his aggressiveness and attacking the basket to make up for it. And that's something that you saw happening already throughout Summer League, where he grew in both of those areas as the games went on. So if I had to guess, that'll happen next season. And then if he does make any changes to a shooting stroke, it won't happen until the following offseason.
It's going to be an exciting season. Mark Medina has been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Check him out online, LA Daily News, and the Lakers beat writer. Does an amazing job and always a true pleasure. Thank you so much for carving out some time tonight. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for the kind words.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way in hour number two as we get ready for some NFL news.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell back with you at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. And the countdown is on. I cannot wait. The start of the NFL season, it is just around the corner. And right now, we're going to pack our bags. We're going to head to the NFC North because in our next segment, we are going to highlight the Green Bay Packers. Next week, training camp gets underway, and it's been very exciting in the offseason. The Packers, they have retooled, and they are ready to make a run at the Super Bowl behind their veteran quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Always a true pleasure to have with us tonight. We are so honored. The Packers radio play-by-play voice, one of our favorites, that is Wayne Larrivee. Looking forward to a full season preview. And also, it was about this time last year that he had released his new book. It is titled, If These Walls Could Talk, Stories from the Green Bay Packers Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box. Good evening, Wayne.
Good evening, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you back on the show. And let's talk about your Packers, because here we are headed into the 2017 NFL season, and they are one of the top dogs in the NFC North. Expectations are very high. My question to you is, have they put together a championship contender? Because from what I understand, they were pretty aggressive in free agency and had a great draft.
Yeah, they were very aggressive in free agency opening day, picking up Martellus Bennett, the tight end from the New England Patriots. And that certainly is an upgrade at that position. They also brought in Lance Kendricks from the Rams, a former University of Wisconsin Badger. So his return, very welcome to Wisconsin as well. And both those guys should really upgrade that tight end position, which was good last year when Jared Cook was healthy, but he missed the first almost half of the season with an ankle problem. But when he came on and was healthy for the playoffs and the late season drive, that's when the offense really started to click. So with Bennett and Kendricks in camp now, along with Richard Rodgers, they expect a lot more out of that tight end position from the word go.
Is that the most important position that they were looking at in the offseason?
Well, you know, they had a number of positions. There are a lot of changes, Alyssa, on this team going into this year. That's why I'm not quite sure what to expect, because a lot of the leadership in the locker room on this team has changed, you know, from Julius Peppers. Micah Hyde is a leader and a playmaker on the field. T.J. Lang was a leader in the locker room and a Pro Bowl right guard for the Packers. All those guys are gone, and they were playoff captains from a season ago. So, you know, you wonder how this whole thing's going to come together. The Packers are going to be different. You can't really draw much on last year to this year, because I think this is going to be a much different ball club. Right guard was a point of contention for the Packers after they lost TJ to free agency. They signed veteran Jari Evans, a 12-year pro from the New Orleans Saints. He's a six-time Pro Bowl guard. If he has one more good year left in him, that'll be the bridge to the next era of right guards for Green Bay.
Radio play-by-play voice for the Green Bay Packers. That is Wayne Larrivee joining us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We don't want to get too far into the interview. We'd love to hear from you. Connect with us. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports, and you can always go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. Okay, Wayne, you were talking about the Packers. The dynamic has changed. They're definitely going to be different. So is the defense going to be different? Because that has got to be the top priority and the area that they are looking to improve the most. And it sounds like they've added some key players to make that happen.
Well, they really have. You know, I think Kevin King, drafted in the second round, at the top of the second round of the draft out of Washington, a cornerback, gives them a little more length at that position. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. He's a guy who has good speed at 4.44 in the 40, and I think that's really going to up. They needed to get faster. They needed to get longer at cornerback, and they certainly did that with that draft choice. Also in the second round, Josh Jones. And this is a kid to keep an eye on.
Okay.
He wears number 27, and he's an outstanding-looking rookie out of North Carolina State. He's a safety. He runs a little bit faster than Kevin King, does about a 4.4 flat 40. He's the kind of guy I think that the Packers are going to employ both on two levels. He'll play some at linebacker, and he'll play some at safety. He's the kind of guy who has great range. I envision him covering tight ends and running backs effectively because he has enough speed. But the other thing I think they may do with him is blitz him off the edge on occasion and get some pass rush from him because he's very quick and sudden.
All right, training camp gets underway next week, and it is the off season. I mean, have you had an opportunity, Wayne, to kind of get a sense of, you know, how the season played out in 2016? You guys got off to that slow start. Have you had a chance to kind of talk to the players, get the pulse from them, and get some insight?
Well, you know, again, as I said, this team is very different this year from last year's. But going back to last year, I mean, that was a 4-6 team, 10 games into the mission.
Yeah.
And it was 4-6 heading to probably 6-10. And then, you know, they got a little bit healthier. As I mentioned, Jared Cook came back. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers then suddenly got hot. And he literally carried this team.
Yeah.
6 straight wins down the stretch, including a crucial win at Detroit to capture the division championship. And then playoff victories, both against the Giants, a very good, best defensive team I saw last year with the New York Giants. And the Packers started slowly in that playoff game, but it really came on late and won that game going away. And then just that shootout in Dallas last year, one of the best games of the season, before they ran out of gas in the NFC title game at Atlanta. So, you know, where were the Packers last year? Well, Aaron got real hot, and that certainly carried them. Defensively, they'll have to be better this year, and they know that, and they intend to be better this year. And I think that's really the key to the season. I think they'll generate offense. There's no question about that in my mind. But the defense has been the X factor since the Super Bowl run of 2010. And if they can get a good, respectable defense, top 15 defense, maybe somewhere in the middle of the NFL defensively, I think that'll be enough with this offense to get them into a serious playoff run.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Wayne Larrivee. We love when he is on the show at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the radio play-by-play voice for the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, we were just talking about Aaron Rodgers. So did it just come down to health in terms of him getting off to that less-than-stellar start to the 2016 season? And then, as you said, I mean, he got hot, and the Packers won their final 6 regular season games and a pair of playoff games.
You know, it's interesting. Early in the season, after 5 weeks, Eddie Lacy's last game was week 5 against Dallas. And so the running game kind of had to be totally remade. And they went outside the box and brought in Ty Montgomery, a wide receiver, to run the football as a running back. And he came on a little bit there. Jordy Nelson started last year coming off an ACL injury. It took him a while before he was Jordy Nelson again.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a while through the first half of the season. I mentioned the injury by the tight end, Jared Cook. That was a major factor. And Aaron Rodgers got off to a slow start last year. There's no question about that. He certainly admits that. And I think once they decided to say, okay, we don't have Eddie Lacy, we're going to have to open up this passing game. We're going to do what we do best. We're going to go 4 and 5 wides and throw the football and that type of thing. I think that got Aaron Rodgers into a rhythm. They started in that Chicago game. Early in the season, they started when they were really down. They started to spread the field, quick hitting, passing game, that type of thing. It didn't take off right away, but it got Aaron Rodgers into a rhythm. And by midseason, he was ready to cook, and you could see that. And down the stretch, he was unstoppable.
Aaron definitely got into rhythm. Would you say that's one of his best runs of his career?
I would say so, yeah. You know, I mean, he had so many. That run in 2011 from start to finish was phenomenal when you think about the whole season. But for like a 6 to 8 game period where Aaron Rodgers was at his best, I thought that was last year. I thought that was where he really brought that team along. He made Devontae Adams a bona fide number 2 receiver. He patiently waited for and then got Jordy Nelson on track. Randall Cobb went through some injuries throughout the season. But by playoff time, he was again a force. Jared Cook, his development at tight end, obviously. This is a season where I think Aaron took his receiving corps and made them better.
Let's talk about the longevity for Aaron Rodgers. Some say that he can play another 10 years. Here he is, 33 years of age. And we look at Tom Brady. He turned 40 this summer, and he's saying he's going to be playing until his mid-40s. What say you, Wayne?
Well, you know, quarterbacks today in the league are protected unlike ever before in the NFL. So these guys can play longer. Drew Brees is another quarterback who doesn't show any sign of slippage in his late 30s. Aaron's going to be 34 in December. You know, there's no question the way they keep themselves in shape, the way the athlete trains today. And I think, again, The fact that the league protects the quarterbacks from taking some of the hellacious hits we've seen in the past, I think that means, yeah, quarterbacks today are probably going to play the good ones into their 40s and play effectively.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Wayne Larrivee with us just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, radio play-by-play voice for the Green Bay Packers. Of course, the Packers have such a strong history of greatness, unrivaled in professional football, and they are certainly looking forward to the 2017 season. So break it down for us, Wayne. Give us just kind of a layout. You guys, the season opener, week one is against Seattle. Kind of take us through how the schedule sets up and plays out.
Well, you know, when you look at the season, you know, to start with Seattle at home, and that's one thing, and that's great to get Seattle at home, but, you know, that's a tough opponent to begin with. There's no question about that. And then they go to Atlanta, and, you know, open a new stadium in Atlanta. They did the same thing a year ago at Minnesota. So that's not easy to do, and I think the front part of the schedule is difficult. There's no question about that for the Packers. But when you look at what they have and if they're healthy going into that part of the schedule, I think they'll be able to survive pretty well. I think Cincinnati will be an improved team this year. They have a lot of talent. And I'm going to give you a team that I think in this division could make a huge jump.
Okay.
If they are healthy, the Chicago Bears, when the Packers play them in the fourth game of the season, a Thursday night on September 28th in Lambeau Field, it's a great rivalry anyway, but I think the Bears could be one of the more improved teams in the league if their defense is healthy this year. Then the Packers go to Dallas and at Minnesota in the middle of the season, October 8th and 15th. Tough ball games there before finishing up with New Orleans on the 22nd of October at home, and then a bye week, and then the stretch run begins.
Oh, you talk about a stretch run. You guys will be on the road here in Dallas, October the 8th. How do you see that particular matchup playing out?
That's going to be a big, that'll be a huge game.
That'll be a dandy.
When you figure what happened in the playoffs a year ago. And, you know, that was a marvelous game in Dallas a year ago. But this one will be the rematch, and I'm sure the Cowboys will be ready because, you know, they want to avenge that loss in the playoffs to the Packers last year in an amazing ball game. But that'll be a big game kind of early in the season, October 8th. And that's followed by that game at Minnesota. Those are always, those division games are always huge. You know, in the last, I think, 4 years, the NFC North division has gone down to a final week winner-take-all for the championship. So you know this division's a lot closer than people think.
Wayne Larrivee with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, radio play-by-play voice for the Green Bay Packers. Our NFC North camp primer continues. But also, we've got to make a mention that last year at this time, you had released your new book, If These Walls Could Talk, Green Bay Packers. And it's still out. You can go online and get a copy of that. Tell us a little bit about that, Wayne.
Yeah, it's a book that did really well last year. It came out in October and was a great stocking stuffer. Triumph Books did it, and they put it together, and it was great to work with Michelle Bruton, who is the editor, and she's very close, an NFL writer herself, so very close to the football scene. Rob Reichel, who writes for Packers Plus of the Journal Sentinel Corporation, he was my co-author on it, and we basically chronicled just stories over the last 20 years of the Green Bay Packers since we've been on the beat together, and it was a lot of fun to do, and there was some, you know, it's funny because there were some great moments, obviously the Super Bowl run, and there were some not so great moments when you consider some of the playoff losses and, of course, the breakup between Brett Favre and the Packers organization. So a lot of inside stuff there, behind-the-scenes stuff, especially in the Super Bowl run.
We are getting you ready for the start of the NFL season with Wayne Larrivee, the radio play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers. We've got to step aside for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back at SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Our NFL news and notes continues as we shine the spotlight on the NFC North. It's our camp primer, the Green Bay Packers, and we are going one-on-one with Wayne Larrivee, the radio play-by-play voice. You guys will be on the road here in Dallas, October the 8th. How do you see that particular matchup playing out?
That's going to be a big, that'll be a huge game.
That'll be a dandy.
When you figure what happened in the playoffs a year ago, and you know, that was a marvelous game in Dallas a year ago, but this one will be the rematch, and I'm sure the Cowboys will be ready because, you know, they want to avenge that loss in the playoffs to the Packers last year in an amazing ball game. But That'll be a big game, kind of early in the season, October 8th, and that's followed by that game at Minnesota. Those are always, those division games are always huge. You know, in the last, I think, 4 years, the NFC North division has gone down to a final week winner-take-all for the championship. So you know this division's a lot closer than people think.
Wayne Larrivee with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, radio play-by-play voice for the Green Bay Packers. Continues, but also we've got to make a mention that last year at this time you had released your new book, If These Walls Could Talk, Green Bay Packers, and it's still out. You can go online and get a copy of that. Tell us a little bit about that, Wayne.
Yeah, it's a book that did really well last year. It came out in October, and it was a great stocking stuffer. Triumph Books did it, and they put it together, and it was great to work with Michelle Bruton, who is the editor, and she's very close, an NFL writer herself, so very close to the football scene. Rob Reichel, who writes for Packers Plus of the Journal Sentinel Corporation, he was my co-author on it, and we basically chronicled just stories over the last 20 years of the Green Bay Packers since we've been on the beat together, and it was a lot of fun to do, and there was some, you know, it's funny because there were some great moments, obviously the Super Bowl run, and there were some not so great moments when you consider some of the playoff losses and, of course, the breakup between Brett Favre and the Packers organization. So a lot of inside stuff there, behind-the-scenes stuff, especially in the Super Bowl run.
And you also include in the book behind the scenes in the draft room as Brett Favre went off the board. You just mentioned him and, you know, what it took to land the Hall of Fame quarterback in Green Bay.
Yeah, you know, it's been great that he's back in the fold now and is part of it, and it's where he belongs, and everyone knew that. It just took some time for that to happen, and it'll be interesting to see where it all goes forward from here.
And, of course, the title of the book is If These Walls Could Talk, Green Bay Packers. It covers the highs and lows of one of professional sport's most beloved teams. We've been visiting with the radio play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers and author Wayne Larrivee. Good to have you back on the show, and have a great season. Good luck. Perhaps you guys will be in Minneapolis, okay?